Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we have sung that to you. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Lord, it's only because of you that we sit in this place. It's because of your grace, Lord, that we are counted as worthy to be in your presence to pray. And so, Father, we come and we pray to you and we extol, first of all, our praise to you. We praise you, Lord, for what you have done in our lives. And while, Lord, there may be times where we suffer and hurt, we know that there are those moments, Lord, that we grow stronger in our faith to you. At times, Lord, we walk away from you, and you don't let us go too far. You walk right along with us. And so we praise you for that. Lord, there are many things we could praise you for this morning. Many things that have occurred in our own life, many, many concerns that have been lifted, many miracles that have been done. And Lord, we look back in history, in our own historical account, and we see many miracles that you've done in our lives. And so we praise you today. Lord, we also confess that we have failed you in many ways. Lord, we've failed you when we've struggled. We failed you when, Lord, we have decided to talk about other people and not about you. We failed you, Lord, when you haven't always been the focus of our heart. And so, Lord, we have failed you in many ways. And yet your grace permeates our very being, our very soul. And so we thank you again for your grace. Lord, we come to you and we confess that while we failed you, we have still loved you. And we know that your love is greater than our sin. We bring before you, Lord, those concerns that we have as a family, those many health needs right within this room, and Lord, that are represented in this room. And we lift them to you, Lord. We lift Rose and Jordan and Terry and Colette and George and Inga and Lori, and we lift them each to you, Lord, and pray your healing upon them in whatever form that is, whatever way that is. And Lord, we pray that you give courage and strength to family members as they walk alongside with them while they're struggling with their health. We think of those who couldn't be here today, Lord, and there are many away vacationing, and there are others who just, Lord, couldn't be here because of circumstances or things going on in their life. Lord, we think of those who just would love to be here but couldn't attend, and we think of those who are shut in. And Lord, we lift them each to you and pray, Father, that you would encourage them as well in some way today, even if that's using us to make a phone call or give them a hug. Lord, there are several who are grieving, and we pray for those who are grieving, Lord, and we pray your comfort upon them. We pray for strength upon them. And Lord, we know that you're the God of all comfort, and so we pray for them. Lord, it's so good to be in your house, to worship you, and to proclaim your name. So now, Lord, we just pray your blessing upon your word this morning, that, Lord, you would clear our minds from all the clutter that enters in there, so we would hear from you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. An elderly gentleman who loves golfing recently moved to a new town, and he joined the local golfing club, but when he went to the club for the first time to play, he was told that there wasn't anybody that he could play along with because they were all out on the golf course. And so, seeing the fellow's disappointment, the assistant pro came over and asked how good a player that he was. The old fellow said, well, I'm really not that bad. It's just that the only problem I have is getting out of sand traps. That's really, other than that, I'm great. But the only problem I have is getting out of sand traps. Well, the assistant pro decided to try him out, and it turned out that he played actually very well. And coming to the par 4 18th hole, they were both even. I mean, the pro and this elderly gentleman. The pro had a nice drive on the 18th hole and was able to get on the green, where he landed two putts from a par. The elderly fellow had a nice drive also, but his approach shot landed in a sand trap next to the green. So playing from the sand trap, he hit a high ball, which landed right on the green, rolled right into the hole. It was a birdie. He won the game.
So the pro, he was quite discouraged at this point. He walked over to the sand trap where this elderly fellow was standing, and he said, "Nice shot. But I thought you said you had a problem getting out of sand traps." The elderly gentleman just lifted his hand and said, "I do. Could you give me a hand?" Maybe you're stuck today in the sand trap, and you wonder, when will your life ever be enjoyable? When will you start being encouraged for a change? When will somebody, the right person, come along and just grab a hold of your hand and help you out of that sand trap? When it comes to obstacles which will turn your attitude from sore to sour, it would be the Trojan horse of ancient myth, discouragement. If you let yourself get so down in the dumps, so discouraged inside of you, it can conquer you from the inside out. And it will prevent you from achieving the success that you desire in life. No one should expect life to be smooth sailing. I mean, if life could only become easier with everyday living, we say, but that's not reality, is it? I mean, we need encouragement, even today, this morning. So I invite you to turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Invite you to turn there. So we're going to look at living an encouraged life. In order to live an encouraged life, you first of all need to ask yourself, well, I'm going to go through two questions actually this morning. The first question you need to ask yourself is, am I connected to the proper source? Am I connected to the proper source? See, in John chapter 15, Jesus talks for the first 10 verses about an abiding relationship. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask what you will, Jesus says, and I will do it. However, apart from me, cut off from me, you can do nothing. If you live life in me, says Jesus, and my word abides in you, any branch that does not bear fruit will be cut off. And he just keeps going on and on and on about how important it is to stay in him. In him, in him, in Christ. See, you only receive nourishment from what you're connected to. So am I connected to the proper source this morning? See, look at these verses, John chapter 15. I am the vine, the true vine, says Jesus, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Well, we don't like the pruning. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. May God add his blessing to his word. In order to live an encouraged life, you need to abide. You need to abide. See, when you abide in Christ, we find amazing encouragement in our life when we stand for the things of Christ. Abiding, standing. If we let His Word abide in us, He promises He will do what we ask within His will. If we remain in Him. Now, if there's one thing I know, it's people. One thing I've studied and one thing I love is people, so I love to study people. And I've come to know that we look everywhere else and in everybody else for a source of joy, to make us secure, to make us comfortable, make us feel good. We think if so-and-so would just do this and this, then I'm going to be encouraged. If I could just find the right book about my life, then I'll find joy. We search for joy. We look for encouragement from everywhere and from everyone, and we look to other names to help us through, except the name that is above every name. You know that name? Jesus Christ. Charlie Brown is sitting and he's having one of his philosophical visits with Linus. And Charlie Brown says, he says, "Sometimes I lie awake at night and I ask, where have I gone wrong? And then the voice says to me, this is going to take more than one night." Let me assure you of something. If you are connected to the proper source, Jesus Christ, the devil will try to discourage you. He will try his hardest to steal any joy out of your life. He will try every day of your life to discourage you somehow, somewhere, so that he can get your eyes off of your source, Jesus Christ, and on your problem and on your discouragement. I want you to get this. Every day, the devil will try to discourage you. Now, why would he do that? I mean, why would he try to discourage us every day? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And not only that, but the joy of the Lord is your witness to other people. People see who Christ is by your life. How is my life going to create something that other people want if I'm just sour all the time? Just sour. I spoke at family camp this past week, and I watched people come the first day, people I didn't know, and they were sour. By the end of the week, they were enthused. And it wasn't Joyce, if you're wondering. You're all wondering, was it Joyce? It wasn't Joyce. I said no to the camp. I mean, how do people want that? I mean, you say, oh, I love Jesus. He's the best thing in my life. You want him. Life is miserable, but it's okay. You can be miserable along with me if you got Jesus in your life. And Satan uses us as God's children. Get this. He uses us as Christians to discourage each other. You know, I don't like the way you've done that. I don't like the way you're serving. I don't like the way you said that to me. You see, if only you would do this, then I'll be happy. If only you would do this, then Jesus is going to be happy. It's actually us who will be happy if they do that. I tell you that if you take the church and you put somebody in it who's enthused and excited, and I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the church in general, it isn't very long before they look just like us. Oh. We're commanded to encourage one another. We are commanded to look for the good things about each other. What a wonderful place, the church. I got to tell you, this morning when I was coming, I got family camp, had this great wedding yesterday, and I was so excited about coming back into the house of God and seeing all of you. I could hardly wait. What a wonderful place, the church. When people are willing, when they're servants, when they're willing to volunteer to do what God gifted us to do, and then we would be encouraging one another with what we do. What am I connected to? Am I connected to the right source this morning? See, John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief, talking about Satan, the thief, the devil, comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus says, I am that they might have and enjoy life. That's the source we need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know if you get as excited as I do about that scripture in John 10:10 as I do, but I am excited about that because Jesus said, he said, I'm so convinced that so many people are miserable. Jesus said, I have come to give you life so that you will enjoy life. A lot of unbelievers that are so miserable. There are a lot of believers that are miserable. I've heard it said, I don't know if I get this right, but I've got to remember how it goes. There are a lot of people going to heaven, they're just not enjoying the journey. That's a tragedy. You think about it, the thief could use a believer to discourage another believer. What joy it must give him, yet how sad it must make our father. You know, as a father, when I see my children fight and argue, I join in. No. I become sad, I grieve. Oh, please don't fight. Do you ever wonder how God gets sometimes when we just at each other? Am I connected to the right source? Or am I connected to my pain? Am I connected to my hurt? Am I connected to my failure? Am I connected to my misery? Am I connected to my problem? Am I connected to my circumstance? Am I connected to the right source? Paul J. Meyer, the founder of the Success Motivation Institute, he says, 90% of those who fail are not actually defeated, they simply quit. I tell you, that's what discouragement can do to you. If you don't handle it the right way, it can cause you to give up. See, since you'll become discouraged at some point, because you will, you need to always ask yourself, right now, while I'm discouraged, am I connected to the right source? Am I going to give up or am I going to get up? Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. We don't like the pruning, do we? See, we don't like it when some branch isn't bearing fruit and it's cut off. We don't like that part of the Christian life when the Father does the pruning. But we look back and we see that we have made it through. And you know, right now, you know, you can think of several moments right now in your mind. You can think of several moments where you just thought you were doomed. But you look back and you saw how you were victorious. Victory, victory, victory. Victorious is that person who knows how to make stepping stones out of stumbling stones. Each stone is placed on our pathway to the top and it either becomes a help or it becomes a hindrance, depending upon how we handle it, how we climb it. Climb on top of each stone, go higher toward victory. Stand above your discouragement today. Above your situation that is trying you, your trial. Stand on top of it. Not defeated down below, waiting to climb those rocks. Start doing, start utilizing your gift for the glory of God. And that's when you produce fruit. And when you produce fruit, you receive joy. Pastor was recently invited by a member of his congregation to their farm home for dinner, and they just finished an excellent meal, chicken and dumplings. Ooh, kind of makes me hungry. Almost lunchtime, now a little time to go. The pastor saw a rooster strutting through the yard and like this, and pastor come and he said, "Well, you know, that certainly is a proud-looking rooster." "Yes, sir," said the farmer. "He has every reason to be proud. One of his sons just entered the ministry." Did you get it? He ate the chicken, the pastor. That almost stunk as bad as my onion breath that I had yesterday from eating an onion. Is there someone around you today, though, that you can minister to? See, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. I've got an idea for something that you can do. I challenge you. Start encouraging one another. Let's start using our gifts for God's glory. Let's start enjoying our life instead of always living a defeated life. And if you look at verse 8, 9, and 10 here, let's go back here. "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father's loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Obedience. Jesus gives only one condition to all of this. All of the encouragement that you could have in your life, there's only one condition. We must obey God. We're to remain in him. We're to receive from him. We're to reproduce for him. And I came to understand in my life that we should make joy a priority. Because people love it when you smile. People do. People don't like frowns. They see them all the time. They like joy. You think of a tree. The life is coming up through the trunk or the vine, and the branches get their life from the vine or from the trunk. And if I break that branch off, throw it to the ground, it's not going to be very long. There's not going to be any life in it. And so Jesus is trying to show that apart from him, you're not going to have any life. Broken off from him, you're not going to have any life. And so maybe even right now, I'm talking to those who maybe just have broken off, disconnected. Maybe you've just fallen away from him. It's time to take care of that today and reconnect. Rededicate, recommit, revitalize, refire, refuel. You need to make a firm decision that I am going nowhere without Jesus, and I want to live for you, God. Help me. And I tell you, talk to me or one of the staff or the elders. We'd love to help you get refueled and recharged, because we don't want you to give up. In Christ. What does that really mean to be in Christ? It means every day that you're believing. Every day you're believing in him. As your Lord, as your Savior, every day you're believing that he's your help. Every day you're believing he's your hope. Every day you get up and you say, "Jesus, I can't make it without you. I can't do it without you anymore. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your direction." It is a leaning relationship. I was like to think of it like the branches just hanging there on the vine or on the trunk. Receiving that life force that comes through that vine, you know, there's a lot of life in Christ that he wants to just raise that branch back to up. You're part of that. You're part of that. Living an encouraging life. You need to ask yourself, am I connected to the proper source? But you also have to ask yourself, am I enjoying my life? Am I enjoying my life? Now, most of you know, I mean, that you require Christ to get the help that you need in order to get you out of the sand traps, but to know is not enough. you want to know the truth, I don't get up every morning excited. It's not like, oh, great morning. Morning. Welcome, sunshine. Hello. Hey, hon, wake up. It's morning. The sun is shining. I'm excited. I don't wake up every morning excited. I have to make a decision to be excited. This is the day the Lord has made. I will be sad and gloomy. No, I will rejoice and be glad in it. He has made me glad. Sometimes I even have to say that out loud a couple of times, wake Joan in the process. I have to make a decision to put a smile on purpose, because sometimes I don't feel like smiling. I may even just be lazy. Not that I'm upset, but I feel like kind of like being quiet, being left alone. Leave me alone. I have to make a decision. I'm going to put a smile on my face. I'm going to be friendly with people. I'm going to talk to people. Because the Bible says we are lights in a dark world, and we need to get out into the world, and we need to shine brightly and not hide our light under a bushel basket somewhere. So I'm asking you to make a decision. It's decision day today. You need to ask yourself a question. Am I enjoying my life? If not, why not? If you come back with yes, then you praise God that he has taught you how to do that. If you're not enjoying your life, you need to make a decision today that you will. See, Jesus taught his staff how to be fruitful so that their joy might be full. I mean, look at verse 11. Verse 11, he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. In other words, fruitfulness is fun. It's a great joy when we gain the results that God desires. You cannot, there's no possible way that you can have a joy-filled life without gaining the results that God desires for your life. Now, I'm going to just let you know one thing, that God has given you a gift, and he requires you to use that gift. And when you start using that God-given gift, you will start seeing God's results for your life, and then you will enjoy your life. But we're conditioned to just being lazy, not doing what God calls us to do. Because that's the enemy. Gets us creeping. He creeps in and goes, you don't want to. You don't want to do that. Hold back a little bit. Isn't that scary to do that? You don't want to use your gift. Are you sure you want? I don't even know if you can do it. God calls us to something specifically because he knows then we will enjoy life. We live an encouraging life when we do what we've been called to do. We have such great potential for fruit or results because our source, our care, is found in the true vine, Jesus Christ. If we stay connected to him, we naturally bear fruit. You don't need to go out and hunt it down and start searching for ways in which you can develop fruit. You just need to stay connected to the true vine. It may not even be the way you thought it would be, but you will be joyfully filled. So answer the question, am I enjoying my life? Deserves an answer. Because if you're not enjoying your life, you're trying to control your life. And Christ is just waiting for you to connect with him again and release the control. Because he can do a better job than you can anyway. It's important to remain connected with him. Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. So how can I enjoy God and enjoy my life if I'm not in his presence? You can't. I need to be in his presence. I need to have that connection. I need to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have one, you have to get it today. Please. You need it. And you will live an encouraging life when you stay connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ. A lot of us live miserable lives because we don't have time to be with Christ. Don't have time to spend in prayer. Don't have time to read our Bible. Don't have time to spend with other hurting people. But we have time to talk with other people. We have time to talk about other people. We have time to bye, so we feel better, encouraged in our life for a moment. We have time to sit, hopefully laugh at our favorite TV show. We have time to sit and read book after book after book. The time with him seems so limited. You won't ever live an encouraging life unless you're connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ. I want to close with this story. I invite you to just close your Bibles and listen. Helen Steiner Rice was born in 1900, and her dream was to study law. She wanted to be a lawyer. And her father tragically died in 1918, and so her plans were set aside for all that. In 1928, she met a young banker named Franklin Rice. And in the wake of the stock market crash of 1929, Franklin committed suicide. Helen went back to work, and this time she took a job just editing greeting cards. For 20 years, she worked there with some of her poems being published by the Gibson Card Company, and she worked hard. She maintained a grateful attitude despite suffering a painful degeneration disease, which occurred in her body. And one day, one of her cards was read on the Lawrence Welk show, and her life suddenly changed, as people clamored for her poetry. Since people have bought more than 7 million books of her writing, she became a success. She died in 1981, but one of the poems she published before her death describes a discovery that she made when facing the darkness of discouragement. And I read this poem entitled, "The Bend in the Road." It ends this way. "And together we stand at life's crossroads and view what we think is the end. But God has a much bigger vision, and he tells us it's only a bend. For the road goes on and is smoother, and the pause in the song is a rest. And the part that's unsung and unfinished is the sweetest and richest and best. So rest and relax and grow stronger. Let go and let God share your load. Your work is not finished or ended. You've just come to a bend in the road." Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. This morning, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I'm going to challenge you this morning where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. If you want to say to the Lord today, "Lord, I need to get reconnected. I need to get refueled. I need to get refired. I need to get reconnected to you, the source in my life, so that I can enjoy my life once again. I need to let go of my pain. I need to let go of my hurt. I need to let go of my failure. I need to let go of my circumstance. I need to give up the control so that you can have it, God. So that you, Lord, can have the control of my life." While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're willing to commit to him that today, just stand up. Just stand up where you're seated. Keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Just stand up. "Lord, bless you. Lord, 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 bless you. I'm giving up the control, God. I'm giving up the control, Lord. I'm giving it up. I'm surrendering it to you." Just stand up if you're saying that to him today. I'm challenging you to stand and make a decision today. "I'm giving up that control because you know, God, what you're doing. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you." Maybe this morning you're feeling very discouraged and you came here today and you realized that you need to make a choice to enjoy your life every day, that the enemy's going to creep in and discourage you, and you need to make a choice today. If you're willing to say, "I'm making a choice right now, I'm going to be encouraged. I'm going to live life to the fullest so that Christ's joy may show through me," just stand up where you are. "I'm going to make that choice today." Just stand up. "Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. I'm going to make that choice. I'm going to make a decision. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. I'm going to make a decision. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. I'm going to make that decision today. I'm going to choose today to live a joy-filled life with Christ. Just stand up. Lord, bless you. Father, let's all stand. Let's all stand up. Keep your eyes closed. Father God, we surrender today unto you the control of this place, this ministry, this church. Lord, we don't know what that entails when we say we surrender this ministry to you, but we do. This is your church. This is your place of worship. We come, Lord, each and every day to receive from your word, the living word, Jesus Christ. Lord, today as we have surrendered to you, many here have given up control. Many, Lord, have reconnected themselves to you. Lord, I pray your blessing upon them, ways they can't even imagine. Lord, bless them in a mighty way. Lord, for those who said they're going to make a decision, choosing every day how they're going to live, choosing every day, Lord, I pray you bless them as they make that choice every day, knowing that they can rejoice in you because you have made them glad. Father, we commit afresh and anew that each and every moment of our lives that we would turn to you, that our eyes would look nowhere else but only to you. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Please remain standing as the worship team comes.